Credo che no, you all have websites, right? How many people make money out of their website? You make a lot of money out of your website.
Yeah.
Good. We do it that much. Does it cover the cost of the website?
No.
No.
I don't think we pay for the website.
No, okay. So, yeah. Fine. But generally speaking, a traditional website is an online brochure. It's pretty static. It contains information that's very useful to have out there. But it doesn't have any security.
I am just checking in.
Okay. It's hard to monetize. It's not impossible, but it's really hard to monetize. It needs regular updates, which cost money. Stagnant content equals few repeat visits. Once someone's seen your website, they know what's on it, why are they going to go back? There aren't that many reasons to go back. So it's really become something that's good for new visitors, to new families who join your congregation. Not so useful for the families that are already in your congregation. So few repeat visits means low sponsorship value. Is a sponsor, a local business, going to be excited about having a thing on your website when there's nobody really visiting it? No, probably not. It's expensive to build. Yes, you can get them done for free, and that does sometimes happen if you have someone in your community who will do that. For most of you, you probably know that it costs $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 to design and build a website. Because it's all about design. It's all about, well, we've got all this information, how do we make it look attractive? Because it's just going to sit there. So basically, with very few exceptions, it's an overhead line item. It costs you money. So how much money? Well, let's take the website design cost as $5,000, which, you know, could be double that easily. Could be much more. If you take monthly hosting and maintenance and updates and this, that, and the other, it probably averages out to be about $300 a month. So over 5 years, it's costing about $23,000 minimum for you to have that website sitting there. Now, just keep that figure in mind, because we're going to come back to it later. So let's look at what else is out there. So we've got super social networks now. We've got Facebook, we've got LinkedIn, and we've got Twitter. How many of you are using sort of social networking for your community? Yeah, so 30-40%. So you've got a Facebook page, and you may be putting out a tweet every now and again. And yes, it certainly has value. They're big, they're not going to go away. Facebook's going to be around for a long time, as is Twitter, as is LinkedIn. LinkedIn probably isn't so relevant to your community at that thing, but Facebook is huge. It mustn't be ignored. But the problem with Facebook is that it's not your real estate. It belongs to somebody else. And it's a bit like a hotel room. You're sort of allowed in, and you can do certain things, but you can't change the furniture, or put down a new carpet, or put new paintings on the wall. There's not much you can do. It's not your space. Then we've got social media, as opposed to social networking. So you've got your legacy website, as we call it, the traditional website. And then you've got Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter as the sort of social networking things that you have to deal with out there. And you might have a blog on WordPress, and you might put some videos up on YouTube. You might be selling some t-shirts to raise some money on eBay. And you might be using Eventbrite to manage and schedule events. And so you will be feeding information and updates and managing your profiles on all of these different places, which is really quite a lot to do. You're either doing it yourself, or you've got a volunteer doing it, or you're paying one of your administrative team to do all this stuff. And, you know, this is sort of what you have to do to be involved in social media. It's more like social schizophrenia. And it really is, for most people, a huge headache. You've got to do it, but it's a headache. So now, let's look at this new thing that's coming along, which is the niche social network. Because special interest groups are the next, you know, huge wave in internet usage. Because we all love the sort of functionality of Facebook and Twitter and instant messaging and chat and Skype and all this stuff. It's great. We don't like the lack of privacy that we have to endure to be able to take advantage of those things. You know, there was a headline about in July last year that said 100 million Facebook users' profiles were downloaded and put onto the internet. It's not that Facebook are necessarily letting that happen, it's just, you know, it's a huge target. And it's that there is the side of it where it is losing information to hackers, personal information. There's the other side of it where Facebook is selling information. All of it, if you read the fine print of the Facebook terms of service, they own everything you put there. You put up a photograph, they own it. What you write, they own it. And that's sort of scary. And I'm not here to sort of terrify you about Facebook, because, you know, it is an essential part of what we all do in the world as it is. But there are some problems, and particularly for a Jewish community, security is really important. Anything to do with having a close-knit community online, security is really important. So, the new social network allows you to, you see, the problem with the thing is that not everybody wants to be connected with everyone, but everyone wants to be connected with like-minded people, a smaller group. So the niche social network allows smaller special interest groups to connect about passions and causes and things that they're involved in that they have in common. They're smaller, they're more agile and maneuverable and easily manipulated. They're relevant, which is really important. Being part of a huge network, even if it's, let's say, it's a huge Jewish network, it's the world over, it's still not as relevant as a network based around your local community, where you see and meet each other, you know other people in the community, you're all dealing with local issues. It's that locality that is becoming really important. So, how many of you had one of these at one time? The early telephone, cell phone, it was a single function device. It allowed you to make a phone call without being connected to a wire. That's all it did. And then, how many of you have one of these now? I bet you all do. You have a BlackBerry, you have an iPhone. You know, they're ubiquitous. And but what they are is a multi-function communications and computing device that does a whole plethora of different things. And what's happened is that the single-function brick phone has evolved into this multi-function device that we all depend on now to keep in touch and to manage our lives and so on. So the same thing is happening to the website. The website is evolving from what we call the legacy website. You know, you might have videos, you've got a lot of information, it provides a way for people to contact you. That regard is useful, and it's searchable, so anyone in the world can find your website and can get hold of you that way. But it's evolving into the social website, where all of these disparate tools, the Facebooks and the Twitters and the YouTubes and so on that we're trying to manage, is coming together in one site and providing a huge amount of functionality to the website that didn't exist before. So think Motorola brick phone, iPhone, same thing happening to the website. But what we want, what we need, is we need all that stuff in our website. We don't want to have to go to all these different places. If we update the profile on our website, wouldn't it be nice if it automatically just updated Twitter, updated Facebook, all done? Yeah, those sort of things are going to make our lives a lot easier when we have all the tools in one place. So, Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, the trio of the sort of super social networks, are still relevant because what they do is they capture the wider audience and they feed them down into your walled garden, your website that is socially enabled, that provides much richer content than is available on any of these other ones. So, look, a lot of fuss is made nowadays about how many people like you on Facebook. And the problem is that the people who like you on Facebook like you and leave. So that's not really great. Sort of, yes, I like you, goodbye. What you want is you want to get people who like you and want to find out more and become engaged and join the community to, who don't feel necessarily comfortable doing that on Facebook, get them into the walled garden, get them to join your private social network. So the private social network gives you, you know, after a short amount of time, you'll have a load of members, all people that you've invited. No one else can get in unless they're invited. You have the ability to plug in all sorts of other things that are useful, like streaming video, run poll software to find out demographics and what your community thinks of certain issues. Quite interesting to be able to just do a poll like that and find out what your entire community thinks on a subject of importance. You can integrate things like, you know, Eventbrite, you can manage donations, and monetizing, which is a big deal that we'll come to in a little bit. The overriding thing is that it's totally secure. No one comes in unless you say they can come in. If somebody does get in and then starts behaving badly, with one click, they're out. Because you manage it, you control it. And it's totally private. What happens behind the sign-in wall is not searchable by Google. No one can find it, no one can get in there. So people feel very comfortable about being much more open in their communications, because they're with friends. And they feel more comfortable about putting up photographs and videos and things like that. So, what does that mean for you in real terms? We've talked a lot about the sort of generic side of it. It means that you can reach out into your community on an hourly or daily basis rather than just once or twice a week. You can be engaged with them much more readily. You can engage and involve members of the community who you would otherwise perhaps rarely see, wouldn't actually, they may be members of the community, but they don't actually play a very active role. You might get a lot more engagement from those people. The congregation will use chat to form tighter bonds to one another, to communicate more frequently amongst themselves. They will form special interest groups to focus on issues and passions and things that particularly, you know, matter to them. And it could be something as simple as cooking, or it could be, you know, something more serious, like, you know, religious studies. You can even use the forum as a sort of modern day yeshiva to share opinions and ideas, to get debate going, to get some really interesting sort of thought processes within the community. It's sort of like a brain share. You know, in your communities, if you could harness the brain power of your community and apply it to issues that require discussion, that's an incredibly powerful tool. And it's searchable, and it's there, so you can go back and you can look and see what somebody said 6 months ago because you thought it was particularly pithy and relevant to that problem. Or there's been some new development that makes that comment particularly relevant. You want to go back and find it. It becomes a very rich database. It helps newcomers to the community become very quickly integrated because they can get to know people. They can join groups. You can send out an email saying, please welcome such and such family that just joined our community. And believe me, the community will rally around and they'll have invitations to come over for, you know, for dinner or a barbecue or something like that. You will find that the community will be much stronger. You're accessible online. As a rabbi, you're probably spread a little thin. But it's pretty cool to think that someone can see that you're online, as I often see that Felipe's online, and just say, hey, got a minute? Just wanted to ask you something. Got time for a chat? You can do a video chat. So you actually see the person you're talking to, totally private, absolutely, you know, between you and them. And that level of accessibility for both sides of the equation, for you to be access to able to access your community that easily, and for your community to be able to access you instead I'm going to get in the car, make an appointment, go over, come and see you. That's pretty cool. It's a powerful tool to reduce attrition and to attract new members to join, because it's a demonstration of what a vibrant and connected community you have. So it becomes very desirable. People like to be part of a group, a club, a team. You know, it's a natural thing. It reduces administrative workload. This is something that Felipe pointed out the other day. You know, how it actually saves the synagogue money, because there's less time spent dealing with, you know, minor administrative things, selling tickets for events and having to do it manually over the phone, having documents and so on already all up there so that people can download forms and documents and so on and don't have to take up the time of the staff to, you know, get them to fax them, mail them, print them, whatever. And last, and certainly not least, it can generate significant new revenue streams from sponsors, from donations, from ticket sales, from charity events, all without an increase in fact, a decrease in administrative management and a decrease in cost. So you're just totally changing the dynamic. The website is often a sort of lead weight around your ankle. And this is going to be something that's going to be uplifting. So without more ado, let's have a look at the Shalom book, which is pretty amazing. And it's much of the fact that it's so amazing is due to Felipe, who has been a tireless champion of making the most of what the technology allows him to do. And this is really a terrific example. So I'm going to log out because I want to show you the very top end. As I said, some of you would have heard me say it right at the beginning, that a private social network like this, or a socially enabled website, is like an iceberg. Most of it's beneath the water, you can't see it. And only the tip of it is above. So what we're looking at here is the tip of the iceberg. This is what is just like an existing website in many ways, in that you can find it on Google, and you can come here, and there are these tabs up here that are public. Anyone can look at them. You can go to the main website, you can look at the Temple Bulletin, you can read the blog, and you can see the events. But you can't see anything else unless you become a member. Now you can add to these tabs, it's infinitely customizable. You could have 15 or 20 tabs here that if you needed that many to contain all the sort of informational brochure stuff currently lives in your website, but needs to be open to the public. But when you sign up, you'll see that on the front page here, there's a slideshow, so people can look at it and go, wow, that looks like a fun community. It explains what it is, and it invites you to join. So I'm already signed up, I won't go through the whole sign-up process, but you can imagine you just fill in your name, your information, and you answer a couple of questions about how you found the site or how you came to Las Vegas or whatever questions you want to put up there. It's entirely up to you. And then your membership either has to be approved by the rabbi or one of the moderators appointed by the rabbi, or you provide your community with a code, and they have to put in the code. So you can't sign up unless you've got that code. So again, keeping it secure, keeping it private. So now you're behind the sign-in, now you're a member, and you can see along the top here, you've got all of these other tabs that are now as a member available to you. Well, let me just take you through the front page. This is really a sort of overview of everything that's going on. You can see that there's, on the left here, I can click on one of these and I can add video or photos or music, I can create an event, I can create a new group, I can write a blog, put up a bulletin or add a file. Anybody can do that.
What do you mean anybody? Anybody who's a member can create an event? No.
Yes, anybody who's a member can create an event, unless you don't want them to, in which case And you, part of the decision-making process of starting a socially enabled network like this is making these decisions about what the benefits are and what you're going to allow people to do and not allow them to do. You can not allow people to upload videos or music or photographs, or you can allow them to with moderator approval so that you're notified when somebody uploads something, you check it and say, okay, fine. Or you can just allow them to do it. So there are a number of different controls in place.
You can always delete it.
And you can always delete it, exactly, yeah. If you don't like it, you take it out. It doesn't stay there. So here you can see there's an activity feed which shows everything that's been going on here. And people are commenting and joining and friending other members and writing blogs and these are all entries from today. We're still not even back to yesterday yet. I mean, in fact, we'd have to go to further entries to get beyond this morning. So it's very active. That's my point. You're not getting just one person coming in a day and writing something. This is an active community.
So how do you monitor the access to the site? It's in the same name several times. How do you know how many people have actually viewed that site in a day?
You can just plug Google Analytics in and it will tell you everything. It will tell you where they came from, who they are, how they got there, how many times they visited, what's unique, what's...
For example, how many visits a day do you check this site out?
From... This is from the same person or from...
Multiple.
Oof. At least 500 visits a day, at least.
From different people?
I don't know.
It'll probably have to be different people.
Because you really have to know the people. So you can see something like people can see the outside side of the site too. So that's the question. But I have to tell you that, I mean, this has been on for 3 weeks, Bert. And we've got already almost 300 people, right? Most members for sure. Which is an unbelievable thing. And they're talking about things that we never thought we were talking about, which is even crazier. It's great.
So I'll just quickly run through this overview page. You've got latest groups, so you can instantly see if someone's added a new group that you might want to join. New members, you might say, oh, just see so-and-so's joining. Great, I'll send them a message. Birthdays in the community, these are all the birthdays coming up in the community, so everybody knows. You can keep this private if you want. And again, you have total control. But it's pretty nice, actually, for people to log on and go, oh, it's so-and-so's birthday, I'll just send them a little note. You've got the latest articles, so you can see what's being written and posted down there. And then you've got newsfeed. This newsfeed is based on keywords that you select, so that it's news that is relevant to the community. Nothing irrelevant. So each person who joins. Oh, and you can see here that the King David Memorial Chapel has sponsored this page, and. So that is a sample of the revenue, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But I think they're very happy to be sponsoring this page, given the number of hits that it's getting. An awful lot better than sponsoring a page in a monthly newsletter. So my profile is my profile, and people can enter as much or as little information as they feel comfortable with. We always encourage people to put up photographs, rather than just have a sort of generic thing. And so, in someone's profile, you can see basically who they are, where they live. Again, you control how much you reveal. But people are usually pretty open because they know that it's a private environment. So these are the people that they go to the services with. And you can, of course, edit your profile, edit location, do all that sort of thing. So then we look at the members page, and we see that. It keeps going up, so I always get the number wrong. 279, it's been 279 for about an hour. All the members are here. It's searchable, you can search the database, new members, advanced search, you can find the people who are moderators if you want to contact a moderator. You can see a member's profile, send them a message, make them a friend, just say hi to them. We put in this page that Felipe wanted, which is the arms of TDS, which is the religious school, the women's league, and so on. So these are like the sort of the official groups of the TDS subgroups. And then we have the main groups part, which is where anyone can start a group. And this is really important because this makes it of public value to the community. Anyone can contribute. They're not just sort of sitting there passively reading what you're putting up. You don't have to be some sort of crazy 24-hour blogger and writer and webmaster to make this work. All you have to do is get the people to join it, and they will make it work. You contribute when you want. You do your blog and you communicate and contribute. But all this activity is driven, a lot of the new content is driven by the community and put there because it's what they want to see and what they want to read. So, I mean, these groups, there are 17 groups. I don't know how many you started, Felipe, but I bet you a large amount of them started by the community.
We started probably 7 or 8 groups. The rest of us started by them. At the beginning, we're very apprehensive of, you know, what kind of groups are they going to start. I'm in awe. There's a group called Terra Organic something or another for people who are organic.
There it is, Terra Organic Co.
I mean, trust me, I have nothing to do with that, okay? Nor do you, right? I mean, we didn't touch much on that. But I mean, it's unbelievable. And they did it on their own.
So here they are, they started this group. The owner is Kate. It's a public group. And there's an explanation of what the group is about. So it's very clear this is about, you know, how it's founded and what the co-op is and goals that have raised funds to support green initiatives at the school. You can see it's got 17 members. It's only going, I thought, 3-4 days. 3 days ago, I think. And then the owner of the group, Kate, can post on the wall, and so the members can get posts from her. It doesn't go to all the other groups or all the other members. It just stays within the group because this is a special interest group. And she's got news about the latest pickup and all this sort of stuff. She can schedule events. She hasn't got the events, but she can schedule an event. And people can say, yeah, I'm coming, or no, I'm not. She can put up videos, pictures, all this sort of thing. So it becomes a wonderful place for someone in the community to create this group of people who share the same interest. Events. This is terrific. We have a pretty simple event scheduling and management tool. We deliberately didn't make it completely comprehensive because there are several others out there that do a really, really good job of comprehensive event management and ticket sales and all that sort of thing. And that's a different business. So we didn't, we just put in a very simple tool. But Felipe has been, as you can see, there are several events here. Let's just click on the RA convention. This has been listed as an event. And the great thing about managing the events, we use a plugin, a company called GiveZooks, who are presenting here tomorrow. They have a table next to us in the exhibitor area. And they specialize in non-profit socially enabled fundraising. And they do, I'll just give them a quick plug, they do all of the hard work. So they allow you to create fundraising sites, multiple campaigns, they allow members of your community to create their own grassroots campaign. Somebody wants to do a bake sale, they can set it up on GiveZooks, and the money goes to your community. It's really amazing. I'm not going to try and explain it all now, but it's terrific. And Felipe was saying that the Lion King event that they were given 100 tickets to the other day, normally you would expect to sell about 20, 25 tickets. You sold nearly all the tickets. And there was none of the time spent by admin staff dealing with phone calls saying, well, what seats are there, and can I sit there, and can I move it there? It was all done online through GiveZooks. All worked beautifully. All the money goes straight into the account. All the letters, tax-free donations, thank you very much, all go out automatically. You don't have to do a thing. There are a lot of events that you might want to have and people might want to have that are less complicated. And this is just a simple event scheduling that was done for the Rabbinical Assembly.
Richard, can you just click on the events so people can see what the events created by yours look like when they create an event? At the top of the tab, just click on events. Just with the council the other.
Oh, yeah, right.
You will say, there it is. So that's, when somebody creates an event, that's where it goes to.
These are all the event, the list of events, and you can go to past events, if there's an event you want to look at that's happened, it doesn't disappear. You can look at, click on friends events and see who of your friends specifically have got events coming up. You've got your own events, and if you want to create a new event, you just click create event. It says, okay, choose a photo, event name, when does it start, what's the basic tagline of it, the location, description of the event, will you be attending or not, and then permissions. You know, a private event, right, it's invitation only, or it's public, anyone can come. You cannot, can't upload photographs, and you cannot, can't invite friends. So it's pretty straightforward. Anyone can do it. You don't need to be a genius. We've designed this so that it's very, very user-friendly. The forum.
I assume there's an events page on the public page too, no?
Yes.
There is.
If you want it.
If you want it to be. You can choose to make any tab visible to the public or not visible to the public, just with a click of a button.
That's fine.
But the public can't create events. You have to be signed in to create events. So they could look at the events, but they couldn't do anything else. So this is the public forums, where you can set up forums for issues that you want to have ongoing discussions about. And again, you can set them up, or you can allow anyone in the community to do it. And the posts are all archived, so that you can go back and it's all searchable. The magazine, or blog, depending on what you want to call it, again, there's another sponsorship at the top there, earning money. The blog is terrific because you can choose to just do the blog yourself and have no one else do it, or you can open it up, as Felipe has done, and allow the congregation to write a blog. If they've got something that they want to write about, they think it's going to be of interest. If anybody was to write something that you felt was inappropriate, you can delete it. There's such a small risk of that happening that the benefit of having it open for the community to be able to post their blogs far exceeds the risk of anybody posting something inappropriate. And there are all sorts of different subjects. I mean, it's already getting really interesting. And again, all the blogs are searchable, so you can go back and refer to something that was posted a year ago or so. Adam's got a blog as well. So there's all sorts of different things going on here. It's very active. Very active indeed.
You can click a button and send it to Facebook too, the blog if you want. And that creates more traffic to the website. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. And we can integrate Facebook-like buttons and all that sort of stuff, depending on how much integration you want. News, as I said, is pretty self-explanatory. It's a news feed that's based on keywords that you put in to make sure that it's relevant news. It could be relevant just to your community, i.e. Las Vegas and the Temple Beth Shalom, or it could be news that's coming from Israel or regarding any news article that mentions Israel. It's entirely up to you. Media, obviously photos and videos are pretty self-explanatory. There's quite a few videos up there. It's sort of nice to be able to put them up privately, not sort of have them on Facebook. All the videos and the photos can be tagged with keywords. So when you put up a video, you just put in three or four keywords that relate to that video so that it's searchable. So anybody, somebody wanted to look up all the videos related to a bar mitzvah, they just type in bar mitzvah and up pop the videos that have that as a keyword. This is where it gets interesting. The Temple Bulletin, this is an e-bulletin, isn't it? You put out once a month?
No, it's actually your physical paper bulletin in there.
Right. Is it normally printed?
Yes, it's normally printed. We started putting online, and we are always to get away from printing it.
Right. So here it is. This looks great. And yeah, you click it and you read through the pages. It's very nicely presented. As that was your blog, right? And then there's the video streaming, which is, I think, just fantastic. This is a plugin from a company called Ustream. So there's a small subscription to Ustream, and then you can stream anything you want: a wedding, a funeral, a service, a presentation, a speech, a live performance, and anybody who is a member of the community who isn't able to be there can watch. There's no streaming going on at the moment.
You can stream your iPhone. That actually is a pretty good assembly.
You were streaming earlier there was one of the presentations from the assembly was being streamed here. There's nothing going on at the moment.
You don't have an office cam where you can watch the secretaries work in the office? Yeah.
No.
Can you archive things for the stream?
They are archived in the new stream. Archive.
Yeah.
And you can import those videos to the website if you want to make it.
Can the stream be made public if it's an event that you want to the stream publicly?
Yeah, you can put it on a public page in front of the sign-up. In front of the sign-in, rather. So it can be at the top, and therefore, if it's at the top level, anybody can see it without signing in. So, you could keep it private like this, and then if you had a special event that you wanted to make public, you'd simply just email Social Go and say, can you move that video streaming page to pre-sign-in so anyone can see it for the weekend, and then move it back on Monday. So, it's really easy to do. We'll set up a separate page that you just use for public events and a page like this for private events. Files, you can upload all sorts of files, documents, things that people might need, forms, that sort of stuff. Again, saves on office administration because they can just go do a search, download a form, there it is, very handy. But this I think is so clever. Felipe said, can we do this page, you know, this prayer page, where people can put in their own information? We said, yeah. And so, this is what he did. People fill in the information about the prayers, and who, and why, and when, and all this sort of thing. And here is a place where they can donate, and it shows recent donors, and so on. And this is a function of GiveZoos, I mentioned earlier.
The amazing thing about this Mishaverach page is that when they press the button, it goes to the rabbis, the camera, our assistants, so everybody knows in the hospital. So there's no, you know, like, okay, so why didn't you tell me, that kind of stuff. And we ask people to tell us until when we want to say Mishaverach. It's actually a pretty cool feature. Every morning you get an Excel spreadsheet of how many people are here and what to do. So it's great.
Yeah, I think it's really clever. But this is another example.
The Excel spreadsheet is generated
automatically from this? To generate the forms in Excel, we use another company that's $15 or $17 a month. You can have up to 100 forms like this, whatever you need, whichever ones you want. And you integrate into your website and they generate those spreadsheets and ideas.
So here, if we just look at this GiveZooks function, I talked earlier about GiveZooks and managing events and collecting money and doing all that sort of thing. So here, if you click on donate, you're taken to the GiveZooks donate site for Temple Beth Shalom, and you can see that you can enter an amount, you can pay by Visa or MasterCard, PayPal, Amazon. You can make a donation in honor of someone. Choose to display or not display your name, any other instructions, and you can even use gift cards. There's billions of dollars worth of unused or partially used gift cards sitting in people's sock drawers all over the United States. And it's true. And so now you can do fundraising drives for gift cards. Send in your half-used gift matter of who used Heartbeat. Amazing the amount of people who have given gift cards for vendors that they would never go to. Yeah, and they got it as a present from Aunt Jemima, and so it sits in the drawer, and that can be redeemed into cash for your community. Anyway, Givesoups is an amazing addition to the site, because it really does a comprehensive job of it. As soon as somebody makes a donation, it sends automatically sends them a letter saying, thank you so much for making the donation. You write the letter, it just sends it out automatically. And then it'll also, when the donation is actually received, either by check or if it's a pledge or whatever, when it's actually received, another letter is sent out with the as an official tax verification of a donation to a non-profit. So that's all pretty cool. And there's a link to the main site. And you know, the thing is, once you've looked at a socially enabled website, you come back to this, and it's, you know, it looks great, it can sit there, but it's just, it's sort of like a white elephant compared to the extraordinary functionality and community engagement of a socially enabled site. And of course, big head on in there.
You're talking about duplication, but I see events on the traditional website plus events on the social enabled site, so is that duplication?
It is, and of course now, you know, there will come a time when that website can be retired because everything that's there will be on the new site. But it is very new, so I don't think Philippe is ready to quite take it down yet.
It's 3 weeks and we try coming to go on the other website, there's no comparison. The only reason why we still have it there is because we haven't actually, we want to hire, we want to sign up with a company that gets visibility in Google and stuff like that, but we haven't actually made that happen yet. Eventually, I think we're going to integrate both websites somehow.
Yeah, there's no reason why they can't continue to coexist. You can take out any duplication elements, like you can take out events and just leave events in the social site. And you can just keep the standard website. I mean, yeah, you bought it, you paid for it, it's probably got a lot of permanently useful valid information that isn't out of date. And leave it there. You can switch from one to the other. If when we build your social site for you, we make it look similar in terms of color and so on. People don't really know that they've gone to a completely different place. So they click on the community tab on your legacy website. It takes them here. They think they're still on your website somewhere. They just don't know. So it doesn't matter. And then they can just go to and fro. But they'll probably spend more time here. So in terms of sponsorship, let's go back to... Oh, here, I'll just show you this quickly. This is the... this is what an admin panel looks like. If you want to do stuff yourself, it's really, really simple. You know, you can click on any of these and you can control functions of the site, you can manage your members, network details, your news feeds, all of this you can change. If you want to send out an email, you just click on the message all members, and no, it's not. So you want to send a message. We allow the owner of the site to send up to 2 bulk messages to the entire membership every day. The reason we don't allow more is simply because we're very conscious within the confines of the social network that it's important that people don't get spammed. If you had an over-enthusiastic site admin who sent out 3 or 4 or 5 a day to everybody, people would pretty soon stop paying any attention. So it's a sort of built-in safety measure to make you think, do I really need to say this today, or can it wait until the next bulletin? So you'll see you can pick your title, you've got all the formatting and embedding and videos and photos and font and all of this sort of stuff allows you to completely customize the look and feel of your message. You click send, it goes to all 279 members of Felipe's site. We talked earlier about the cost of a traditional website and how it needs money to be spent on it, and it doesn't really deliver a huge amount in return. When we first had a website, we all thought it was pretty cool, because it was. But now we've moved on. Back then we didn't have all of this sort of social stuff going on. Now we've got a whole different dynamic happening. And if you take the initial website design, add monthly hosting and maintenance, you're looking at upwards of $23,000 cost over 5 years. And I'm sure many of you know it could easily be double that. So it's a major expense, and it's very hard to get any revenue back from it. If you look at a social website, there's a couple of things that we've that changed the way that the dynamic works financially. Full social networking, social media integration. You would think that would be expensive. Well, it's not, because it's really all about volume and it's about functionality. We are putting all of our energy into designing, in a sort of fabulous graphic sense, all of this static information. We put all of our energy into spending 3 years and $5 million building what's under the hood, which makes all this connectivity and chat and all of this stuff possible, which is very complex, much more complex than a website, as you can imagine. So what a social website is about functionality. There isn't that much room for design. The design is just to sort of make the functionality look pretty, but it's really all about functionality. If you look at any of those pages that I just showed you, there's lots going on. You're there because there's stuff you're making happen. You're not there just necessarily to read. So it's an engaging and it's a dynamic environment. You have total privacy. It's easy to monetize. The community does most of the work keeping it fresh environment. So you don't have to be sort of full-time webmaster to make it happen. Many repeat visits equals high sponsorship value. Your local businesses will happily pay $100, maybe $200 a month to have their banner on a page that's getting hundreds of hits every day, as opposed to a newsletter that's getting read once and put out and recycled. So it's inexpensive to build and maintain, and it becomes a revenue line item. So if you look at the initial site design, and you can do it cheaper than this. I mean, you can do it at $25 a month. You can start your own, you can sign up for Social Go and do it all yourself. But many of you probably won't want to do that. So there's different packages, and we're offering a special package for the Rabbinical Assembly, which is just under $1,000, where we give you a whole load of extra help and personal hand-holding and so on to get it all up and running that we don't normally offer to anyone. Normally it's all just done by email. It's a set package limited to 4 or 5 hours a month to support the concierge package. So we put together a super concierge. So let's take that as a starting point. Instead of costing $5,000 or $10,000 for designing, it costs $1,000. So then you have fixed monthly hosting and maintenance of $150. That's the standard concierge service. So the 5-year cost would be just under $10,000, as opposed to $23,000 for a standard website, if you got one cheap. So then if you add in, let's say, $1,000 a month in sponsorship revenue. This is not including donations. This is not including ticket sales for events. This is just the sponsorship from local businesses. Let's say you had 10 banners on the site. You could probably easily, on a large one, have 20. Let's say you had 10 and you charged 100. You could probably charge more. That's $1,000 a month. So over a 5-year period, your net profit after the costs is $50,000. Now that suddenly becomes an awful lot more interesting proposition than a website. So that really is the value proposition of a socially enabled site over a website. And that's what we do. So, income, that's what we all want to see. I think it's really important, particularly for non-profit communities, to have an idea of how to use this new technology to generate a new revenue stream. Because so many people think of it as an expense, and they think of it as being something that's hard to get their heads around. But our job is to try and make it easy for you. Who are we? Just very briefly, we're a publicly traded company in the UK. We have over 250,000 networks up and running all over the world, with millions of members and hundreds of new networks being created daily. We've got book clubs and families and businesses and religious congregations, small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and large businesses. We have Asda, which is Walmart's name in the UK. Our products are sold in the Apple Store. It's also, we're affiliated with Network Solutions. Our products are sold through Fry's Electronics. And we have clients like Levi's and Texas Instruments and BBC and so on. So, you know, we're an established company. We're not going to go away. We've just raised another round of fundraising, so we're good, we're solid, we're here to stay. So that's social code. And do any of you have any more questions? Yes.
Can you talk a little more about security? I was really intrigued on how Facebook comes in, and also how this kind of social network site. Does it have the capability of sending information out? And where is the line of security drawn?
It does have the capability of sending information out, and you can send out a status update and so on. We're actually in the process of releasing version 2 of our software that's going to have much more Facebook and Twitter functionality, so that you can control what comes in and what goes out. We find that what we're trying to do is to make it easy for people to have a Facebook site to gather and funnel members down. So obviously you need to be able to feed information back to that site. But we are at the same time very conscious that anything that could compromise the security of the site and of our members' information. So we don't want to do anything that's going to allow Facebook more access than it needs.
So can you just talk a little bit about how do you establish the security so for the information that's coming in is in that closed network? That one seems to be one of the key features that you're offering when you built this site. So what is it that you're using? How is the security established? If you can share, if you're comfortable,
I get security. To a certain extent, I'm going to get out of my depth because I'm not technical. I'm not technical at all. So if you want to know how it's done, but I can certainly give you that answer.
I'm just happy with concepts,
The concept is sharing information within the site and having the ability to send a message out and to receive. If somebody comes from Facebook and you say on your Facebook page, they're going to come to the public, the front part of the site. So they're either going to sign up and you're going to let them in, or they're going to be able to look around the public part of the site, and they're not going to be able to go any further. So access to the site is always restricted. As regards what the exchange of information, little bits of information like status updates, I know for a fact that doesn't compromise our security. How it's done, I don't know.
Yes, I just wanted to add one of my surprises in being part of the site. First of all, I mentioned to a lot of you that this has been the most revolutionary aspect of any community I've ever worked with, and how it's actually caught on at Temple Beth Shalom. But what surprised me most, and I'm only bringing it up because some of the chatter in this corner was, it's not going to appeal to our demographic, is that the people who are joining as members are not kids. They are people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and sometimes the people in their 80s who are online and who are utilizing the site, and that has been stunning to me. So keep that in mind.
Thank you. That's a good point. And I think because the community is making its own decisions about what's being discussed and what groups are there and so on, then it's sort of, they naturally mold it. What works for TDS may not quite work for your community, but your community is So if you want to talk about it any further, I'm in the exhibitor hall and happy to answer any questions there at any time. Yes?
I enjoyed your presentation and would love to take it back with me if I'm going to present it to my board if they want to see something like this. Do you have your presentation apart in some kind of format?
What I can do is I can this is, I can certainly send it to you as a PDF. I build mine in Keynote on the Mac, so when you export it to PowerPoint, it sometimes doesn't look that great. I'll happily give you a PowerPoint file, it just may not, it may have some funky bits in it. But if you want to give me your contact information, I'll happily send it.